The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to the Miles to Memories podcast. I'm your host for the week, Joe Chung. Sean is off gallivanting in Alaska with, he's there with the PDX Deals guy. They're on the same cruise. I feel like they kind of kept that on the down low before they got there.
Yeah, I think I knew about a week or two ahead, but whatever the deal was, I think they booked it at the same time. So yeah, they're doing it together, which is kind of cool.
Those, of course, are the dulcet tones of Mark Osterman, managing editor at Miles to Memories. If you are not following Sean on Instagram, I know he always wants more Instagram followers, Instagram.com/Miles to Memories. He's posting a lot of stuff. Alaska looks beautiful, and they seem to be having a great time. They spent the 4th of July, happy 4th, everyone, out on some beautiful, picturesque, scenic thing. I don't know, Mark. I don't know. I know you're not a cruise guy, but are you at least marginally jealous at some of the pictures that Sean's posting?
Not really. I mean, it just kind of throwback to last year when I went up there with my son. It is really beautiful. So much so that after a couple of days, you're like, do I even need to look at this? Because, you know, I've seen this type of thing, this mountain, this waterfall, this glacier quite a few times. But yeah, it is pretty crazy how much it is up there. I'm curious to hear from him if he thinks New Zealand tops it, or if that's still like the prettiest place. You know, that's the other one people always talk about. So I'm curious to see how the two compare.
Yeah, me too. So I hopefully I want to go to Australia next summer. And if I'm there, might as well swing by New Zealand. And then we're going to Alaska.
So they're winter
soon. So,
or do you want to go in their summer?
I want to go in their summer, preferably, but I'll probably go in their winter because the Women's World Cup is down there next year. And I also have relatives there, so we'd probably go in the summer for a longer amount of time, and then hopefully I can swing by New Zealand and get my Lord of the Rings nerddom on while I'm down there, because huge fan. Before we continue, we just want to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you find podcasts. We really appreciate it if you leave us positive reviews, and if you have any questions for the podcast, you can always email us mtmpodcast@milestomemories.com. Nope, podcast@milesmemories.com. You know what? Just email Sean at milesmemories.com. He'll get it. So I don't think he ever invites people to email anyway. But yeah, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. And if you diss Mark, bonus points.
There you go.
Mark, how's everything going? How was your July 4th?
It was pretty good. It's always a busy time, you know, around the lake in Michigan. Everyone that knows someone that lives near a lake, it's like they show up. So like if you are a friend of a friend, you end up parking on their grass. And so it gets a little crazy around that area, but it was good. We floated out and watched the fireworks on the water. So we were like sitting on our little floats instead of being in the massive crowd of people downtown. I mean, the fireworks were probably like 3 miles away, but you could still see them over the water, which was kind of cool and relaxing. And my wife, who's big into fireworks, I don't really care about them. She said it was her favorite fireworks yet, even though like the town she grew up in spends like $100,000 on fireworks and goes all out. She said this was better just because there was like no people around to bother you and kids kicking sand in your face and all kinds of craziness.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is not your first time doing the 4th at the lake, right? Last year would have been your first?
Yeah, last year, but we went into town and like went to the park and messed with all the parking and walking and trying to find a spot. And it was just chaos and I didn't want to do it. So I complained the whole time like I do. And then I said, never again. You can go. You can take the kids. I'm going to go sit on the beach by the house and watch it from there. So that's what we did. And of course, she said it was the best ever. So I was right. She won't admit it, but I was right.
Nice. You know, remember, maybe if you have a problem with that, you know, if you happen to be, say, married to Mark and you have a problem with that, you can email him, mark@milesandmaurice.com. So yeah, actually we realized I think I've known this for a while, but you know, back in the day when we were young, we would camp out. I was texting my friend who I did this with. We would camp out on the Esplanade, which is by the Charles River in Boston. Like we would get there at 9 a.m. and we'd stay till, you know, the fireworks weren't until 10 p.m. And I mean, that was always amazing, but that was when I was in my 20s and, you know, we'd always be sunburned at the end of it, even though we had a tent. And I was remembering, Mark, I was texting my buddy and, you know, Jess used to go with us too. We didn't even have smartphones when we did this. I don't even know.
Yeah, what'd you do the whole time?
I do not know what we did for 12 hours. I remember distinctly one
year. We talked to human beings, you know, instead of texting them.
Yeah. Like, we played board games and we played cards. And I remember, like, one year, we have a tent. And so you only kind of need one person manning the tent at a time. So we would take shifts. So one year, like, I walked to Boston Common, which is like a 25-minute walk away, and went to the movies. And then, like, in the middle of the day, and then came
back. Original
Top
Gun.
yeah, the original Top Gun, exactly. Still going strong, by the way. Number one movie of the summer.
Hey, no spoilers.
No spoilers.
I did
no
go. But I went back with the son to watch it a second time on Saturday, and it was just as good, as I remember. You know.
Yeah, it's good. I'm kind of trying to see if I can take Jess. I feel like even she would like it. But yeah, so I realize though now that obviously we're not going to go out with the kids. Although I think we want to do it once. You know, if you're into fireworks, you know, maybe you send Kirsten, but you don't go, Mark, because you'd be miserable there. But like in terms of fireworks. There were a lot of jokes going around about how, like, you know, the fireworks on 4th of July aren't as good as Disney's on a regular night, which is true for, like, normal towns. But when you take Boston's 4th of July, I mean, it is amazing. And so we used to always love doing that. But we found out we can actually watch it from our attic. You know, we can see it, you know, it's a couple miles away.
You just got sweat.
A ton of explosions. So, yeah, we just got to sweat.
You know,
luckily it wasn't too bad last night. So we watched from there last night with the music on the radio.
We used to do,
you know, like old school.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. We used to do it because the town my parents grew up in, it was like right next to the town Kirsten grew up in. And both of them really did big fireworks shows, especially for being, you know, a smaller size town. But they were like the best in the state. And people would do is like drop off the second car and leave it parked there. And you'd sit in the back of the car with like the trunk up or whatever, if it was like an SUV or a van with the slider doors or whatever, open up the back doors and you would play the radio because they would be like Lady in Red and it would be all red fireworks. The song would come on. So it's like all that kind of crazy stuff. But I think my favorite fireworks are probably at like baseball games, especially if you're sitting like upper deck because they blow up like right in your face. So I think that's pretty much tough to beat if you even like minor league stadiums do a good fireworks show. So I'd rather do that.
Yeah, I took my daughter to a soccer game, the MLS team here, the Revolution, who, like, no one goes to the games, but...
I didn't even know they had a
team. Yeah, exactly. But they had a fireworks show at the end, and so, like, we went kind of for the game, but we more went for the fireworks at the end. And I finally, you know, this is the first time going to a game like the Revolution game is great because you can teach her that... As the game goes on, they don't really care where you sit. So we like move seats like five or six times. Just like, oh, I didn't know you could do this, you know, like in stadiums and stuff like that. I never was a huge sneak to the front of the field guy when it's like really crowded, but when it's not, you know, and actually our seats were terrible for where the fireworks were, but we moved. It was actually better to watch the fireworks from the upper deck. We moved to the upper deck on the other side. So that was like right in front of us. So it was a lot of fun.
Is the field on a baseball stadium like the New York team?
No.
That looks like the worst setup ever. And I know they do like a college football bowl game in the Yankee Stadium, but it's like, man, it just looks so terrible. It makes old Oakland setup look better.
I know. Yeah. If you don't know what Mark is talking about, New York City FC, which is DDG's MLS team that he supports, they play on Yankee Stadium, and it looks like they just paint the diamond over with a Sharpie when they set up the field. I mean, it looks so
bad.
They
throw turf in, but it looks terrible.
I mean, you can see the diamond. So, you know, it's a Sharpie. Okay. It's not turf. But yeah, enough soccer talk for today. We wanted to, so last week we were going to talk about all the trouble with summer travel and, you know, some tips for getting through it. We were kind of hoping that July 4th was going to be a little bit of a meltdown so that we could talk about it, but it didn't really seem to go too badly, although
that's 'cause they're gonna perhaps, get
fined. Yeah, or perhaps American Airlines is going to have a bad month because they dropped like 5,000 flights or like dropped the pilots off 5,000 flights or something like that. And I think they're fighting with the union about whether the pilots need to fly those. But we don't know much about that. But actually, July 4th ended up being okay. But still, summer travel is not going to be great. So, you know, there's been this viral thread going around about things to do to make summer travel easier. And so, Mark, let's go through this and see you think about these.
This is from a flight attendant, right? This is which?
It's from a flight attendant. It went viral like on Facebook and Instagram. I'm sure someone just like read it out loud on TikTok and got like 2 million views out of that.
Gosh, TikTok works, terrible.
Right? Yeah, that's how it works.
Let me just take other people's stuff and then take a video of me reacting to their video, and I'll get views for that.
Don't forget, you have to change your voice to a funny voice. Like when you talk, it has to go rah, 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 and then you also have to put some random music behind it.
That's
and
like
2 million views.
That's like blogs that write a story about somebody else's YouTube video that did a video, and they're like, "Hey, I found this video interesting. Here's what he says. Now watch the video." Like, okay, so you're just trying to get clicks off of somebody else's work. It's annoying.
Name names, Mark. No, names.
They know who they are.
Okay. All right. So I don't even know who the flight attendant is, so I can't give credit to them. So I apologize. But they start by saying, flying this summer is rough, blah, blah, blah. Here's some tips. All right. So the first tip, things are not good if it's less than 7 hours drive. She's not kidding, or he or she is not kidding. What do you think? That's basically what I'm adopting this summer. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I'd say like five.
All right, Mark, you got to put yourself in a shoes of someone who's actually traveling, since I know you've been bragging for the last 2 months about how you decided not to travel.
I went to Maryland last weekend and went, no problem. So just like I expected. No, I'd probably put it at five. Like seven's a little bit of a – I guess it depends if it's a family or if it's solo. If it's solo, I'm willing to like take less, more risk on. So like 4 or 5 hour drive, I'd probably fly above
more risk on the flight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So if it's solo,
same.
I'll do that. If it's a family, cause a big problem is the prices too. So a family of four, you're going to save a lot by driving, even with gas prices they are. So I'll take on the pain of driving it over like 5-6 hours, up to 7 or 8, maybe I'll drive with the family at this point versus fly. Cause you're going to save probably like $1,000. And then you're not going to have potential issues. I don't want to be stuck in an airport with, two kids and all that stuff. So I think it depends on family or whatever. But 7, I think, is a decent amount if you're talking about family.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a whole day if you're with your family, because you drive 3.5, you eat lunch, and then you drive another 3.5. But still, I do not want to be stuck at – I'd rather be stuck in a car with them than be stuck at the airport with them. And then, like you said, with flights being like – $200, $300 one way. Even with the crazy gas prices, you're saving money. All right, so let me read the next one, Mark. Download and use the app of the airline you are flying. You can do everything, get your boarding pass, blah, blah, blah. Do you think, I feel like that's pretty basic stuff.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of people out there, and I hate apps. I hate downloading apps that I only use a few times a year and stuff like that. So but I think it is worth it because you can pull up. A lot of times I'll get alerted via the app before they even post it, like at the thing. If there's a delay, the app will let you know before you see anything like in the airport updated. So that is a good tip. And then, you can do a lot of things on the app. You make changes if you need to, pick seats last minute, switch up seats. Because a lot of times the seats will open up right before you board and you can actually hop to a better one if you want. So I think it is a good tip for sure.
Yeah, and the next one is something that I never used to do, but I am doing and am willing to do this summer, which is fly much earlier than you need to, a whole day early if it's important. This week I saw people miss important things like weddings, funerals, cruises, graduations, tears were real, etc. So I'm flying to Vancouver like 4 days early. I mean, that's a little bit too early, but I figure we can hang out in Vancouver.
That's a lot early.
Yeah, but we've always wanted to visit Vancouver. The Chinese food there is supposed to be really good.
Yeah, you just want to get what is it? The most Chinese focused place, like for food and stuff, because of the flight back and forth. North America, right? Isn't that what they say?
Oh, I don't know. I just know their Chinatown's really good.
I think because that's like a big connection point for.
Yeah, it's a big connection point. I mean, obviously, if you listen to like the first episode of this podcast ever, that's where Mark went when he was dumping soy sauce all over his white rice. And so I'll go ahead and do that when we're in Vancouver. But it seems like there are a lot of cool things to do there. So I'm like, if our flight gets canceled, then we have a couple of days of buffer. If not, we're going to be staying there for a few days. I booked the Hyatt Regency Vancouver, already used a confirmed suite upgrade.
I stayed there. It's decent. It's a pretty decent hotel.
Yeah, that should be good. Oh, and they brought their breakfast back. They said they're going to have breakfast buffet. I was like, oh.
It only took them forever.
But no lounge, of course. No lounge, of course.
Well, buffet's better anyway. Yeah, I'll say like Vancouver, we're talking earlier about New Zealand and Alaska and all that stuff. I actually, if you want natural beauty and not be bored out of your mind, if you don't like, the outdoors so much, Vancouver's like the perfect mix because you have all this beautiful scenery, overlooking from downtown, everything you can drive to in like 30 minutes or whatever and check out some really nice stuff. And then you also have a very cool city to hang out in with restaurants, bars, all that type of stuff. And, you know, it just offers the best of both worlds, I think, which is kind of unique.
Did you rent a car when you were there?
No, I was there for like one night. I got in at 3 a.m. and crashed for a bit, hung out the next day, and then got up early for a flight back. So like 30 hours.
Sorry, in my head, when you, because I'm going to Alaska through Vancouver, in my head, when you went to Alaska,
no, I'm not crazy.
Vancouver as well, but yeah, my bad. All right. The next thing is, this is not unique to this year. Keep in mind, summer is thunderstorm season. A single storm can shut down a whole airport, 100%. If you're flying through the southeast, even the northeast at times, thunderstorms are just wreaking havoc on. I think that's why July 4th wasn't as bad, because the weather was like perfect around the country for fireworks everywhere, which means it was perfect for flying. But when there are thunderstorms, it's a huge mess.
On the last one too, real quick, I'd say, like, if you have something that you have a ticket for, like a cruise or something, definitely fly a day or two early for things like that. And then, you know, big events. But for this one, yeah, I read an article and they were comparing this year to last year, and I shared it around the web yesterday on the 4th. And it was interesting, like the percentages aren't that much worse, you know, as far as delays and missed flights. Like, we think it's a lot worse than 2019, but it was like up 1% or something like that. So, but it is like hitting all at one time, it seems like. And they said, you know, normally like a thunderstorm will maybe cause a little bit of havoc at like 3 or 4 airports and a couple flights. And now it like ripple effects through because of staffing issues. They can't like pull people in and they don't have as many pieces on the chessboard to play with. So like one storm can knock out like across the country versus just stay to like the northeast or something like that. So that is something that will be a problem for sure.
Right. I don't remember if I talked about it last week, but really quickly, if I didn't, my in-laws were delayed from 5 p.m. till 1 a.m. I think I did talk about this. And then when they landed, they didn't have a gate and they had to wait another hour on the tarmac for a gate. So it's just because like there's no buffer with the employees when they get knocked out from thunderstorms or from COVID, that it's just a hot
mess.
They're
going to time out a lot quicker and all that stuff because they've been working longer.
All that mess. Yeah. So which leads into the next one, schedule long layovers. Your 1 hour layover is not enough anymore. 3 hours minimum.
Don't fly if there's a layover. Do not fly.
Yeah. My corollary is, yeah, just fly the direct flight. Like, do not fly if there's a layover. I know, to me, like, $100 extra to fly the direct flight is even amongst
it's
my family.
It's nonstop, Joe. Don't trigger people.
Okay, sorry. Apologize. Nonstop. I just can't deal with the stress of a layover and then in that layover. So my in-laws, they've been coming from Tennessee, which I don't think had any direct flights, and so they laid over in DC, and that's where they got stuck. So yeah, just avoid layovers, or just be like Mark, buy a lake house and your vacation for the summer will be all set.
Yeah, it's already pre-planned, so, preordained.
Actually, Mark, your timing was so perfect on that too, because you know mortgage rates are through the roof now.
Yeah,
so
we got
when you did it. That's what, did you that's do, what you did in 2020, was it?
Yeah, towards the end of 2020, and it's an insane rate. Like we got like 1.7% on a second house, which is unheard of. It's basically like we're not paying anything for it. It's insane. It doesn't make any sense. Like we have a lower interest rate on the cottage than we do our own house because we never did the refinance. We had a decent rate, but not great. And we didn't refinance because we were doing that. And it was just like too much going on. And now rates are crazy. But yeah, just pure insanity.
Yep. Once again, everything's coming up, Mark. Not jealous. Not jealous at all. Okay. Next thing. What you see on the news is an understatement. We are short-staffed and overworked. We covered this already. No ground crews. No one there to park the planes, drive jetways, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Hence the delays, like my in-laws experienced. All right. Next one. Mark just covered this. When flight crews get delayed, we time out. We cannot fly longer than 16 hours. 16 hours seems pretty long in the first place. It's illegal, so it doesn't matter if you have a wedding to get to. When we're done, we are done.
Isn't it crazy that if it's like 15 hours and 45 minutes, they can take off and it goes over the 16 hours? Like, that doesn't make any logical sense either.
Oh, I thought, you know, when you first said that, I thought you meant they could take off. They could, like, leave. But you mean that the plane can take off, and then if it's, like, a four-hour flight, they actually end up working 20 hours.
That's what I understand it. Like, because remember, I've been on flights where they're like, hey, since we didn't take off in time, we just timed out, so we have to get off now. Which, I don't, maybe it is, like, they have to include the flight time into that.
Oh, yeah, maybe they add it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you can't predict for that, right? Yeah. Because it's not like...
So I think it's like, as long as they're in the air, they're like, hey, we can do it.
Yeah, if you're a flight attendant, let us know. how that works, or a pilot. But yeah, it can't, I guess, because you can't factor in the time, because like, what if something happens in the air and it takes longer? It's not like, it's hour 12, you take off on a 4 hour flight, but then, oh, there's a thunderstorm, so you got to circle for an hour, but oh, the pilot times out, so he just leaves the cockpit. Like, that doesn't happen.
I like how you're saying hope, like you're from Michigan. I like it.
Oh, is that
yeah, that's like, it's like a Midwest thing. Like, when you almost bump into somebody, you always go, oh, excuse me.
Nice. I was watching some clips of the Detroiters this morning, so you still got to watch that show. It's funny. All right, and then the last one, probably most important, is be nice. Don't be that drunk passenger or angry passenger, I would add. Pack smart, get trip insurance. All that stuff is decent advice. I mean, I think the most important thing is to be nice. The trip insurance is a interesting thing. You know, I'll tell you a story, and I don't know if you have advice for my buddy. Let me know. So he was flying to Florida on a round-trip flight, AA, and AA canceled his flight like the night before. He did not want to go late, so he ended up booking like a Spirit flight. Ugh. And he's in Philadelphia, so he booked a Spirit flight out of Atlantic City, which, brutal.
Double whammy.
So, I mean, he was talking to AA, and the mistake that he made is he booked a round-trip flight. Because if he had booked one way, he wouldn't have run into this problem. But because he booked a round-trip flight, he still wanted to have his return flight with AA. But so they canceled his round-trip flight, but then they rebooked his return flight using that credit at the current price. So he only got like $80 back on like a $400 round-trip fare or whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so he's arguing with AA now, and they won't give him the money back. I told him to just file a chargeback on his credit card. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, you think they'd be willing to work with him? I mean, technically they don't have to because he booked the round trip. But you think if he would have called in before the flight or like as soon as it was canceled and said, hey, I want to drop off the first half. And that's something Southwest will do. Like I've done that where I called in and said, hey, I have this round trip booked, but I want to drop off the first half and just keep the return flight. And they can do that. So I imagine with Southwest, if they can't figure out how to charge in Canadian dollars, but they can do this, I would hope that AA could do it as well. So I think they're just being stingy. I would say send them a message via Twitter. Sometimes social media teams are more willing to do stuff. So see if they can do that, or they just give them a courtesy credit, something like some miles. They should do something for that for sure, because it's their own fault that they canceled the flight.
I definitely agree that they are being unreasonable in this case. And
Did he book with a credit card that he could get compensation?
Yeah, I think he booked with his Sapphire Preferred or Reserve or something.
So he should be able to do that because cancellation and all that stuff. So I'd look into that as well.
Yeah, that's what I said. And I think he's going with the credit card consumer protections route now and kind of just giving up with AA. Because, the annoying thing is, I bet you if like you called them enough or talked to the right people, they'd finally do right. But, it's just like a war of attrition with the airlines. And they're just counting on you giving up and being too tired to like really fight for, what is fair, frankly.
Frontier used to have me sit on hold for 2 hours during the pandemic. And then when I'd get on and ask for something, they'd hang up on me. They did that like 3 times in a row.
Yeah. They're
like, oh, let me get on that. Click.
Yeah.
This brings up,
gets me mad,
brings up an interesting point. Cause a lot of times, like when they're like, hey, what card did you use for this? I'm always like, I don't know. Cause I'll put flights on like a card. I'm working on Mint Spend because I'm not overly worried about delays in the past or cancellations, or use a gift card to get extra points. And so I would say it's probably not worth it chasing that right now. Like, pick your best card for insurance purposes and just put all your flights on the same card. One, for ease, to know that it's all going to end up on this card and you can go back to it if there is a problem. And two, so you have coverage. So I think that's tips I would say. And then another one I'd throw in there is if you do have like a delay or cancellation or something, there's a long line, get on the phone while you're in line, try to get through to the call center as well. You might as well, you're standing there anyway, or even pay to access the lounge and try to get an agent there, because a lot of times that will be easier to get stuff taken care of. So, or get a credit card that gives you the lounge access if you fly one airline. There you go.
Yeah, definitely. I think the simplicity is a big thing right now, just with the amount of trips that get canceled, either on your end or on the airline and vendor's end. It's not worth the extra 1 cent per point. And you have plenty of stuff to spend for your minimum spending or whatever. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. $1,000 on a flight, you can just, run to one of your favorite convenience stores or gas stations and take care of that there. All right, so staying on the travel tip, since we're talking about it, if you are going to travel, you know, we had a fun post on Miles to Memories about favorite airline travel hacks. And I got to admit, Mark, I did not, you know, when you messaged me about this, you messaged me as if I was in the know, but I did not know about this cell phone holder hack to watch movies. So please, on this audio podcast, describe how to do this.
Yeah, so I originally shared this, and it happened because of the Southwest flight that we talked about last week, you know, where I left my tablet in my checked luggage and headphones, had to buy headphones. And then I, you know, frantically tried to download stuff. And Brian M. from our Diamond Group's like, you know, Southwest does the free streaming thing. You could have watched their TV or their movies. And I did. I know that. But I really had this movie that I bought for the flight, downloaded the tablet. So I really wanted to watch that. So I
downloaded. What movie?
Protégé with Maggie Q and Sam Jackson. Samuel Jackson.
Oh, okay.
So I like Maggie Q from her Nikita days and all that stuff. But
yeah, she's good. Oh, that's the one where they're like assassins, right?
Yeah, it's like a typical, you know, B movie action revenge flick, like John Wick light, very very light John Wick. So I had that, so I downloaded the Prime app and then downloaded the movie, so I had it on my phone, could watch it on airplane mode and all that stuff. So there was this hack that went around like 3-4 years ago on social media, and I thought it was always genius, used it a couple times, but had to bust it out this time, because the problem when you're watching a movie on your phone, if you don't have a phone holder that has like one of those stands built in or whatever, or the handle thing on the back that props your phone up, you're kind of just sitting there holding your phone, which is annoying. Plus you're looking down the whole time and your neck's all cranked. It's just annoying. So if you have a case on your phone, which who doesn't have a case on their phone these days? You take the case off and then you put a piece of paper, like a boarding pass works perfect because it's a thicker piece of paper or something, that will slide under the phone into the case. Then you put the case back on, lock it in. So it's like secured behind the phone and locked in. And then you take the remaining part that's like left outside of the phone case and you put that in the tray table and then close the tray table, and your phone just hangs like on the seat in front of you so you can watch it without looking down or anything. It's just sitting right in front of you like it's a in-flight entertainment system.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm just laughing because one picture could have explained everything that we had to explain in audio for 2 minutes. But
yeah, we'll put a link in that you can go check out the picture for sure.
I mean, it's a good post, and there's some nice comments here with other tips that people do. You know, John Ryan, the Wunderkind.
Yeah, did you see how I put that in the group? John Ryan's our teenager that writes for the site, and he finished top 5 posts last month. He came in 5th. One of his posts was the fifth most read of for the month, and I said our very own Wunderkind.
Yes.
Instead of Wonder Kid. Wonder Kid. Like, did you get the reference right away?
I know it, but I don't even know. Like, I don't know why I knew. Oh yeah, yeah, that's why I knew how to
Cuz like, he said it wrong.
I'm like, why am I saying Wunderkind?
Cuz he said, yeah, Wonder Kid, and they're like, "You know it's not Wonder Kid, right?" And he's like, "I know, Nate the Great."
Yeah. Who's Nate the Great?
Sorry, no spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers. Oh my gosh, more spoilers. Jeez. He's not. His hair's turned gray, though. That is a spoiler. Yeah, so anyway, Wunderkind. I said the N. He says, bring a water bottle that's empty. Fill it up before security. We always do that. Good tip there. And bring a foreign power plug converter, since the U.S. plugs won't stick to the power outlet and fall out. You know, I think that is an interesting tip, because I have noticed that my plugs always fall out of the outlets on the plane, so I'll definitely try that later.
Somebody else said you can do these things called plug snugs or snug plug, one of the two, and I didn't search.
This is a family podcast.
Yeah, I was gonna say this was a tip, and it's like it hooks up to your plug, make it like stay in better or whatever. And somebody said just be careful when Googling it, because some erotica stuff pops up. So don't search for those. Those items at work, do it on your home computer.
incognito mode. I love Dan said, my favorite travel hack is finding free street parking near JFK or LaGuardia and then taking a cheap Uber to the terminal. I don't have to pay exorbitant airport parking fees and I get straight to the terminal. I like this in concept. He said for any trip 2+ days, it's cheaper and more convenient. But what I wasn't sure about is, doesn't New York City have like street cleaning and stuff like that that you got to worry about? So, you know, I love Dan. If you're listening to this, I'm curious how you handle that. But conceptually, I love the idea.
I'd also, I know other people have done this. And I don't know if it was Vin from Miles Per Day or somebody had done it for years and years, and then their car finally got broken into. So yeah, you just got to be careful where you do it. I know some hotels like back in the day would allow you to, if you stayed a night, you could leave your car there for a week or whatever. And there was a couple options in Detroit that were like points hotels too. That was, it kind of worked out nicely. I don't think that's really an option anymore, but that's another thing you could try. Just contact a hotel and be like, hey, if I book a night, can I leave my car there? Some might do it by the airport, but yeah, I know some people do the street parking. It's a little bit too risky for me, I think. I'm lazy and I park at the one that's connected to the terminal and I pay the extra $5 a day or whatever.
Nice. Jim F. says, get a coffee drink before leaving the club to board the plane, then ask the flight attendant serving pre-departure beverages. This must be a first class tip.
Yeah. You
know, we, Mark and I haven't rolled like that in a while, but ask for a Bailey's to put in it.
Because it's a pre-departure, yep.
Yeah, and then you can keep your drink while pushing back. Because the pre-departure beverages, they always
You could do it on landing, too. So if you have your own cup or whatever, water bottle, whatever, and you pour in whatever they give you, isn't that kind of bizarre? Like, they make you give you them everything that's theirs, but yours, you could have your own styrofoam throwaway coffee cup, and they'll let you keep it. So if you want to drink the entire flight, there you go. On the way to Vegas, just put your beer in a coffee cup, and then they will never take it.
I mean, why these rules and regulations? You know, why don't you time out if it's 15 minutes before, you know, the 16 hours? Like, none of this makes sense.
Yeah, none of this makes sense.
Andrew P. said his favorite hack is the secret button underneath the aisle armrest on most planes that allows you to raise it. I am always disappointed when that button is not there, which has happened.
So do you do it during flight to get extra space, or do you do it just when getting out?
I do it both. It kind of depends, like, who's sitting next to me.
Yeah, if it's your kid, you're going to steal their armrest, so you do it.
Yeah, stuff like that. Or, you know, it depends. You know, like, when you're on a plane, you kind of, the space needs that you have might be different on a different flight. But it's just nice to have the option and not be, like, especially, you know, pressed up against it. If someone's in the middle seat who's taking up a lot of space, you know, you just move the armrest so you have a little bit more space. I like to keep it down when the cart's coming through, though, because that's how you get your elbows bashed in without knowing, if you don't have that protection there. But yeah. And then, Mark, did someone like win the comments or something? I saw that you like emailed or something, or was that about guessing what movie
you
were watching?
Oh yeah, there was one that guessed the movie, which I Love Dan won, and then I picked Jim's because I thought it was so easy and yet obvious, and I've never thought about it like that. They let you keep whatever you bring on the entire flight, so that's a way to drink the entire time, and there, you know, you can play around with that a bit. Like, you know, who says that your little liquids bag doesn't come open in the bathroom while your Coke bottle is open and accidentally spills in there?
Never do that in the bathroom. I would not do that in the bathroom. That's disgusting.
Hey, back in the day of COVID, where they weren't doing any drink service, you had to get creative. I'm not gonna lie.
You had to do what you got to do. It's like bootlegging in the 1920s. You know, like if you got to do it in the bathroom, you got to do it in the bathroom. Okay, I understand that.
You just got to pour it in, and then it's just Coke on the flight that you can drink on takeoff and landing.
I don't know what air molecules that liquid is hitting on the way down.
Oh, you don't think those same molecules are circulating in the air? Airplane.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, HEPA filters. They keep telling me that there are HEPA filters in the main cabin, so I believe, except you still smell stuff. Ignorance is bliss.
When you smell ignorance something, you know bliss. That's particles of that going up your nose, don't you? Right?
Biology yes, teacher? Yes, yes. I teach science. I get it. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. All right, let's close things out here. Let's do something, a tiny credit card related thing. You know, Benji wrote an article about why may now be the time to obtain the Marriott Bonvoy Brilliant. Mark, you want to summarize that really quickly before we get out of here?
Yeah, so it's just kind of an interesting time. You know, they switched over the Bonvoy Brilliant's had a $300 credit since launch that you could use at Marriott resorts on room stays or room charges, all that stuff. And they're changing it over in September to where it's $25 a month food credit, which I know a lot of people are upset about. And I think for the majority of like the normal person, it probably works better because not everybody's going to stay at Marriott. But then also, why would you have that card if you don't want to stay at Marriott's, I guess? So it doesn't make a lot of sense for a loyalty program and a brand to go away from it. But I think everybody spends $25 a month on dining out versus maybe they struggle to book $300. But anyway, back to Benji's reasoning is if you sign up for the card now, you'll get the $300 credit up until September, and then it will switch over to the $25 a month. So it's a way to double dip because that credit is based on card member year instead of calendar year, like most of the credits Amex does. So you can double dip it. The sad thing is the offer used to be $100K and a free night cert. That was like the highest we'd seen. And it ended a couple weeks ago. So anybody that signed up for it there during then also gets the double dip, which is awesome. So I wish I wasn't in pop-up jail. That would have been nice. Don't you think?
Yeah. And I wish that this, like, they still won't let you get it if you had the SPG card, right?
No,
at least in the terms conditions.
No, it's something weird. It's like if you carry one, I don't know. We have a whole post that has like a Venn diagram of how their rules work. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's too much. I just can't.
Yeah. So what he kind of like hid in there, which was pretty smart, is he was at the Amex credit card limit when the offer was the $100K plus free night cert, but he signed up anyway, knowing that he would get denied. And then he did it like right before the offer ended. And then he has a chance to see if the new offer is better or if he likes the old offer, because you can call and do reconsideration for 30 or 60 days. It might be 60 days for Amex. And so he canceled the one of the five cards, dropped down to four, and then called reconsideration, was able to still get the $100K offer. But he was able to wait and see what the new offer was and how things played out. So he already knew that he was going to be able to double dip this because that news came out before he called for reconsideration. So it only works if you already are at the max limit of Amex cards, but you know, you can think of ways to use that to your advantage with them or other lenders type of thing.
So much work. So
yeah.
Much work.
Because
I mean, all the more power to Benji, but it's so much
work. Well, people have done similar things like with Chase. If they're at over 524, but they drop off in like the next month, but an offer they really want is ending, they'll sign up, get denied, and then we'll call back once their 524 drops down and get the better offer. So there you go. There's a couple good tips if you stayed with us the whole way. Bazinga!
Bazinga. All right. Well, that'll do it for today's podcast. Sean will be back next week. I think next week will be the last time all three of us will be together for a while.
No, I'm off next week.
Are you going to be here next
week?
I'm
off next week.
Well, all right. We're not going to be together for like the rest of the summer. Don't worry about it. All right. We'll have podcasts. It's just not all three of us. But yeah, if you want to find more podcasts, find us everywhere you find podcasts. And you can find Sean at milestomemories.com or at milestomemories on Twitter. You can find me at AsTheJoeFlies, all of our social media. Mark, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DetroitMark. Email me, mark@milestomemories, or comment on the articles on the site, milestomemories.com. Join our Facebook groups if you want to get into there and chat and ask questions. And you can message me on Facebook as well.
All right, that'll do it for us. Mark, wherever you're going next week, have a lot of fun. Sean, we're looking forward to you coming back from Alaska, and we will talk to you all next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. See you again. Have a good night. Goodbye.
'Excuse me.
Welcome to puberty, Joe.
Thank you. Dude, I remember when I hit puberty and my voice cracked like crazy. And I was like, at least this is only going to be a couple years. But 41 years.
Dude, you know what our kids will never have to deal with? Our sons, at least. Remember, because when they'd call the house phone, you'd pick up and they'd always think you're your sister before you hit puberty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, hey, Shelly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, it's Mark. But they don't have to, because nobody calls and asks for somebody else. Like, it's all cell phones now. People don't have house phones. So they'll never have to go through that terror and self-loathing.
You know what I was realizing the other day, you know, about how things are changing? Kids these days, they love freaking FaceTiming each other. I'm just like, why? What is the point? The whole beauty of text messaging being created was that I never had to talk to anyone on the phone. And now you want to see their face? I think this generation just has it all messed up.
Yeah, my mom's like, oh, it's like, backwards. Can we FaceTime? No, you can call the kids on their tablet. I'm not giving, you know, setting up on my phone. Like, it's like the last thing I want to do.
I mean, FaceTiming grandma is like one thing, right? But why do I got to FaceTime my peer?
Dude, like, they FaceTime while they play games together on like Xbox and stuff. I'm like,
I don't even feel like I need to be looking at you right now, Mark, while we're recording this podcast. We're just doing it because it's what we always do, you know? So, all right.